Sorry guys, I missed the first couple minutes over here. So, you can't always remember to turn it on. So, but they hold like Rabbi Lo, we already said in the Gemara that one is required to get up for a Sefer Torah. And now we have a story where the rabbi who walked by and other rabbis were learning, he said they should not have gotten up for him. And this is like Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar says, "Ein Talmud Chacham Rashoy Lamod Mipnei Rabo." A Talmud Chacham is not allowed to get up before his Rebbe. When he is learning Torah. So even for his Rebbe, he doesn't have to get up if the student's learning Torah. And not only that, but Abaye went further. Layate Allah Abaye. Abaye condemned this teaching of Rabbi Elazar and all those who follow Rabbi Elazar's opinion. So we have a dissenting view, so we have a machlokes now. Okay, Rabbi Elazar says that a person should not get up. Well, we had a story, so we had like this. Rab Shimon Bar Abba told his students not to get up for them, number one. Well, he gave him two reasons. More a thought he held like Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi says that Talmud Chacham was learning is not allowed to get up for his Rebbe. And Abaye would, on the other hand, cursed out that teaching, condemned this teaching of Rabbi Elazar. So we have a machlokes, if you should get up for your Rebbe when you are learning or not. Gemara is not resolved. Okay, we move on now to the final little section dealing with this brisa. And how long do you got to stand for the rabbi that you get up for? The pasuk says, "Vehebitu acharei Moshe." The people would watch Moshe when he came, walked by. They would look at him ad boho ha'ela until he got into his tent, and that's how long they would look at him. So, what's the Torah mean to say that the people looked at him until he got into his tent? Well, it's two different teachings. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, those two rabbis, give two opinions. We don't know which one said what, but between the two of them we have the two opinions. Chadam Alignai, one said it was referring to shameful behavior. In other words, it was a bad thing. And the other one says V'chadam Alishavach, where others said it was a praiseworthy behavior. In other words, so machlokas, were they doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing in the looking motion? Because obviously what were they doing? Now we're going to explain. Man de Amar Lignai, the one who says it was shameful behavior, Kida Isa, as it is explained somewhere else. Okay, now the Gemara doesn't spell out because it was really bad, but there's a Medrash that says like this: as the people watched Moshe, they would say, "Look how thick his thighs are, how fat his neck is." In other words, look, he's doing pretty well. He's doing well. He eats well. You know why? Because he takes all our money. And he doesn't, he's in charge. You know, he's at the top. He creams off the top, etc., etc. There's a lot of other things they also said were negative. But basically what it boils down to, people would look at him and the whole time they would talk behind his back, casting aspersions upon Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one way of looking at things. Mandam and the other rabbi, Leshevach, learned it as a praise, because he understood it in the following way, as Omar Chizkia, because Chizkia said, Omar li Rab Chanina Bereda Rababo, Amar Rababo, Amar Rabdimi Dimin Chayfa, that Rab Chanina, the son of Rababo, told me the name of Rababo, who said the name of Rabdimi of Chayfa. Okay, that what? Chacham over, if a wise man passes by, Omeid milafonim dalat amis. You have to stand as soon as he comes within your four amis. Vikivin sha'aver dalat amis. When he passes way four amis away, yoshev. In other words, you're getting up for an eight amis diameter. Is when he comes within your four amis, you have to stand and you stay. If he's walking past, you stay till he goes four amis back. That's who? That's a chacham. Now, what about a higher level person? What about an av bezdin? That's really the leader of the rabbinical court. That's the number two man behind the nasi. We give him more honor if he walks by you. Omeid milafonav malayonav. You have to stand up as far as the eye can see ahead of you. But v'kivin shavar, once he passes by, dalat amis yoshev. Once he's four amis past you, you sit down. Nasi, the prince, over, that's the biggest honor. Omeid milafon of malayonov. You have to look, get up from as far as you can see. Veinayoshev at sheyoshev bimkoma. You don't sit until he sits in his place. So now it's totally, or, and if he doesn't sit, then I guess as far as you can see him the other way. How do we know this? Well, this is the praiseworthy part. Shenamar, because he's going to refer to the pasuk we've been referring to. Ve'bitu achrei Moshe ad bo'alo. They would watch Moshe until he entered the tent. Moshe was certainly like the nasi of his people till he was out of sight as he walked into his tent. So he learned from here. They watched him all the way. That's what the pasuk said. They watched him until he got into his tent, meaning as far till he was out of sight. So that's the praiseworthy way. I don't believe, really, it's really a machlokes between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok Nafra. I believe they're both reflecting the broad populace. I mean to say, there's always some people who will look at the leader and look at him positively, and there's other will look at him negatively. I'm sure some people said, ah, look how much he has. He rips us off. What are you talking about? Such a tzaddik, such a, we should revere him and honor him. We're giving honor to someone like a Sefer Torah. And let's keep looking at him to give him honor and to stand. And there's so much to gain from him. So there probably are two different types of Jews in the world. And the rabbis astutely saw that. Okay. We are now done with this subtopic.
One question.
Yes, sir.
For the Kohanim, is there any particular, rule for that, to stand or not to stand?
Nope.
I mean,
nope,
nothing.
Sorry. Okay.
What's the right question, Rabbi? A Levi. What you stand for, a Levi? Semi.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. That's good, right? Yeah.
All right. So anyway, we got to go all the way back to our mission. Remember, our Mishnah had six statements. Okay? The first statement was, any mitzvah of the son on the father is obligatory for men, women are exempt. That was saying, mitzvahs that a parent has to oversee that the child does, it's the father's responsibility, not the mother's. We went through all that, six things a father has to teach his son. The next Mishnah said, any mitzvah of the father on the son is obligatory for men and women. This is not taking care of parents. We say that's men and women are obliged. What kind of honor they give to parents? And from that we segued into giving honor for elderly people and rabbis and things in a Sefer Torah. And that was that deviation with the Brisa. Now we're going back to point number three. That's going to be the new topic now. And let's see what the point is. Any mitzvah saseh shazman grama. A mitzvah to do something that applies only at certain times. Again, mitzvah saseh means mitzvah. Mitzvah saseh, a positive mitzvah, shahazman, that the time, grama, causes it. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Men are obliged, women are not. We now are beginning this sugya. It's a long sugya, and it's going to be trying to look for the sources. From where do we see this in the Torah? First of all, what's examples of it? And what's the Torah's source that women are not obliged to do time-bound mitzvahs? This is a new topic we are now beginning, which is right two lines from the bottom of 33b, which will take us very soon to 34a. So the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah, and now the Gemara asks the following. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in Raisa. It says, Ezeho mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Which of the mitzvahs is a positive commandment that time causes? Let's have some examples. So here come the examples. Number one, sukkah. Sukkah is a time-bound mitzvah because you only can do it 7 days out of the year. So even though it's every minute of every day for a full week, it's still considered a time-bound mitzvah. Women are not obliged. Again, it doesn't mean to say they can't do it, but they're not obliged. And if they don't sit in a sukkah, they have not transgressed by not doing a positive mitzvah. As well, the lulav. And a lulav, there's really two issues over here. If you look at the notes, if it really, really on a biblical level, if you live outside the Beis HaMikdash, there's only one day to shake a lulav and esrog. Rabbinically, we do more, but really biblically one. Within the Beis HaMikdash, then there's 7 days. Okay? But either way, it's a time-bound mitzvah. Also, it's time-bound mitzvah because it only can be done in the day and not at night. So it's a time-bound mitzvah. Also, shofar is a time-bound mitzvah because it's only for the 1 or 2 days. It's tzitzis. Tzitzis is a time-bound mitzvah. Why? Because when do you perform the mitzvah tzitzis? When do you not perform the mitzvah tzitzis?
At night.
At night. Torah says, reisima, so you will see it. So it only has a mitzvah tzitzis when you can see it and not when you cannot see it. Okay, moving on to one more. Utfilin. And tfilin. Okay, which is interesting. It's in the news lately. If you're following the religious news, there's a modern Orthodox high school in New York that the principal is allowing 2 girls to wear their tfilin to the with the minyan with the girls, as it were. And there's a whole ruckus. There's a lot going on in the modern Orthodox, open Orthodox world, all kinds of politics that I don't like to talk about on Shabbos. But clearly the Torah says they're exempt from it. Here it's they're exempt. And we will discuss this more at another time. However, looky here. Now, why is it a time-bound mitzvah? Why is tefillin a time-bound mitzvah? Well, number one, you can't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Right? Also, there's a, what about at night? We're going to see that at night, many say it's not a mitzvah either. So there is a period of time where one is not obliged to wear tefillin or one's not allowed to. That makes it a time-bound mitzvah. Now here, look at this. Look in the brackets. The rationale for considering tefillin a time-bound commandment differs, however, from that of the previous cases. There a specific time period occasions the mitzvah obligation. In other words, it's a time of the day, a time of the year. In the case of tefillin, however, neither daytime nor weekday possesses any special quality that activates obligation. Indeed, one would be obliged to wear tefillin at night or on the Sabbath had Scripture not decreed otherwise. Rather, it is the time-related respite from obligation that renders tefillin. Whereas other ones are, this is when you do the mitzvah. Here it's, I put on tefillin, and this is when I don't put it on. That's the difference. The Torah says you don't put it on Shabbos. The other one, lulav, you do blow it on Rosh Hashanah. And that's it. That's all I have to talk about. Tefillin, you put on tefillin, period. The mitzvah, per se, is, I guess, all the time. Then the Torah said, but you don't put it on at a certain time. So therefore, it still becomes a time-bound mitzvah from the other way around. These are the positive mitzvahs that are time-bound, and that's only a sampling. There's more, but women are not obliged. Let's have examples of positive mitzvahs that are not time-bound mitzvahs that women are required in. Number one, mezuzah. You put the mezuzah up, and that's it. There's no specific time. You put the mezuzah up, and it stands there for the rest of your life. Right? It's not a time where you don't have a mezuzah. Another mitzvah, makkah. There's a mitzvah to put a protective railing when you have an area that is above the ground, a roof, right? And it has to be 10 tefachim high. That's not a time-bound mitzvah. If you have a house and you have a roof and or an area that people walk on, a porch, balcony, you have to put up a fence. That's a positive mitzvah, and it's not time-bound. Okay, how about aveda? You find a lost object. It's also not time-bound. You don't have, you know, you only can return it in day, you can't return it at night. Well, as soon as you find it, you have to return it. Vishiluach hakein, and sending away a mother bird from the nest. Okay. Alright. Oh, yeah, we'll skip now. And now the Brisa ends off with an important thing. So wait a minute. So, we have to go back, because Gemara's gonna ask a question. We seem to have given a rule. Let's go back. To look at the bottom of the page here, just to point out over here. If you look at the bottom, it started with this word, kol. Kol. Every positive mitzvah that's time-bound, the Mishnah said, everyone that's time-bound, the Mishnah is potter. So what does it say when the Mishnah says every mitzvah that's time-bound is potter? It means everyone. If you find a mitzvah and it's time-bound, the Mishnah says they're not obliged. So now, how could we ask a question on that rule if we could find one positive mitzvah that women do have to do? The Mishnah doesn't say, what if I would have taken out that first word, call? If we say, listen, positive, women are not obliged to do positive mitzvahs, then we could say that's a general rule, but there could be exceptions because women are not. But if it said, it says all positive commandments that have a time bound, that means each and every positive one. Now, what if I find one that's a positive mitzvah a woman has to do? Then that would be going against the rule that the Mishnah just said. So that's what the Gemara is going to do right now. It's going to say, wait a minute, how could you say every mitzvah is like that? We see that's not true. And that's what the Gemara asks. Uklalahu, is this an unqualified general rule? Right? Because the Mishnah said every mitzvah. So what are you telling me? I'm going to show you a whole bunch of positive mitzvahs that are time bound that women are obliged. For example, any of you know offhand, guys?
Yeah, lighting candles on Shabbat. Erev Shabbos.
That's not a biblical mitzvah.
It's not a biblical.
It's a rabbinic mitzvah.
Oh.
What? Prayer is not a time bound mitzvah.
In the morning?
Rabbinically, but biblically, it's not a time bound mitzvah.
Hmm.
There's ones you know for sure. Hare matzah. What about matzah? Every woman has to eat matzah on the Seder night. They're obliged. And it's a time-bound mitzvah. You can only eat matzah at the Seder night or stretch it to Pesach, but it definitely, Torah says, on the 15th, on the night of the 15th, you must eat matzah. Every man and woman must do it. And that's a time-bound mitzvah, and they're obliged. So you see, there is a time of mitzvah they have to do. That's number one. Number two, simcha. There's a special mitzvah of rejoicing on Yom Tov, right? At the three major holidays, it says, V'samachta v'chagecha, you shall rejoice on your festival, you and your son and your daughter. So women have to rejoice, and that's a time bound because the festivals are only a few days during the year. And finally, and hakel. Hakel, once every 7 years, the entire Jewish people come to Yerushalayim and hear the king read from the Torah. Okay, and it says right at the end, look at the note, it says, assemble the people, the men, and the women, and the children. And that's very time-bound, because it's once every 7 years for only a few minutes. And they're all obliged in those three. Look at them. They are all, the mitzvahs, aseh shasman brahma, they are all time-bound mitzvahs. V'nashim chayavas, they are obliged. So you, how did the Mishnah say, all mitzvahs that are time-bound, women are obliged. We see not all mitzvahs there. Now, there's reasons for each and every one of them that we're not going to go into now. But there are reasons. Now, that's question number one. Question number two, Visu. Let's reverse it. Vare Talmud Torah. How about the study of Torah? Period, Verivya, and having children, Upidyan Haben, and redeeming a firstborn child. Now we had another rule. Mitzvahs that are not time-bound mitzvahs, women are obliged in. Right? A positive that's not time-bound. So the reverse, and it's also all mitzvahs that are not time-bound, women are obliged. Well, here's three examples of non-time-bound positive mitzvahs. The women are not obliged. The Torah study, propagating the species, and redemption of the firstborn. Alright? Well, first of all, number one, they're exempt from Torah study. We already learned that. They're exempt from studying Torah. Number two, the mitzvah of being fruitful and multiply is only a mitzvah on the man. It's not a mitzvah on the woman. Okay? Pidyon HaBen, clearly, we don't have to redeem a firstborn girl. Right? That's not there. And there's no obligation on the mother even to redeem the child as well. So those are three mitzvahs that are time-bound mitzvahs. The lav mitzvahs, they're not. The lav mitzvahs aseh shasman gramahu. They're not time-bound mitzvahs. Vinashi peturus, and women are exempt. So again, you know, the Mishnah said all mitzvahs that are time-bound, women are exempt. That's not true. We gave a bunch of examples they are. All mitzvahs that are not time-bound mitzvahs, they have to. We gave examples of those that are not time-bound that they're not allowed. They don't do. So what's going on? How could the Mishnah say all? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, you can't take it at face value, and I'm going to teach you a rule on how to learn Mishnayos. He's saying, Ein lemeidim min haklalos. We do not learn from general rules. In other words, even though there's a list, even though they're giving you a specific general rule, it's not meant to be learned literally. That's the rule. Ve'afilo, even if the mission goes so far, b'makom shenemar b'chutz, even when it says, for example, all this and this you're obliged except for this, which is even more. If it says all, they all means most. But even if it says all are X except for Y, now you've already told me there's one exception. He says even if they only make one exception, there could still be more. In other words, that's the style. That's the style. And now he's going to give you an example. Okay, so therefore, even though the Mishnah said a broad statement, women are exempt from all time by mitzvahs, it doesn't mean absolutely. When it says all, it means almost all. Nearly all. Well, but don't be so particular on the words. Even if it gives an exception, now they're going to give you a Mishnah where it says about all with exceptions, and we see there's more than those exceptions. For example, it's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Erevin, we're talking about an Erev Chatzeros, where you're trying to combine families of a courtyard to be able to carry within the courtyard, so you have to make it a mutually group-owned area. So you have to use some food that's put in between everybody that is makes them mutually one group. So you use some kind of food. Now, certain foods are acceptable to make an Erev for this, and certain foods are not acceptable for this. So Gemara says like this, the Mishnah says, B'chol ma'arvim mishtatfim. You can make an Erev Chatzeros and a Shutufei Muvos with any type of food. Erev Chatzeros, again, they had courtyards, let's say 10 houses open up into a courtyard, so you can't carry unless you make this Erev. Then a bunch of courtyards can open up into an alley, so if you want all the courtyards to carry into the alley, that's called a Shutufei Muvos. It's called that the alleyway, we've made partnership with the alley. All foods can be used for it, chutz, except min hamayim u'melach, except for water and salt. Water and salt are not considered enough to be considered a food. Okay, now from that mission, what does it seem clear? Okay, water and food not, everything else yes. Well, guess what? We're going to find out that not everything else yes. Vesu leka, there's nothing else that doesn't work. Va'ika kameyanu pitrios. We know that truffles and mushrooms are also not good. Cause they're, what do you call it? They come from germs. What do you call it? They grow from, bacteria. Right? So that's also not considered a regular food. And you can't. So the Mishnah said everything's okay. Everything. Except water and salt. But we see, no, that the mushroom's also not. So what's going on? So therefore, what does that prove to us? Ella, rather, what? Ein lemeidim min haklalos. We don't learn from general rules. Va'afilu b'makom shenemar b'chutz. Even when it says, except, doesn't matter. Don't get hung up on that. Don't learn it literally. There are exceptions to every rule. And that's a good place.